Recognizing God, part four, subtitle today is Clearing Things Up, Clearing Things Up. Let's all stand to our feet, shall we, for the reading of the text as found in the Gospel according to Luke, chapter 17, verse 11 through 19. While he was on his way to Jerusalem, he was passing between Samaria and Galilee, and he entered a village. 10 leprous men who stood at a distance met him, and they raised their voices, saying, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." When he saw them, he said to them, "Go and show yourselves to the priests." And as they were going, they were cleansed. Now one of them, when he saw that he had been healed, turned back, glorifying God with a loud voice. And he fell on his face at his feet, giving thanks to him. He was a Samaritan. Then Jesus answered and said, "Were there not 10 cleansed? But the 9, where are they? Was no one found who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner?" And he said to him, "Stand up and go. Your faith has made you well." Clearing things up, recognizing God. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Father, we thank you for this holy assembly, God, that we can assemble in the name of Jesus Christ. And God, we have so much to be thankful for. Thank you, Lord, for allowing us to be in your house one more time that we can hear your blessed word. Now, Father, bless our hearts to obey. We ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. Numbers of you are old enough to remember the fictional Christian novel, book, and later movie by the title of Ben-Hur. The fictional character Ben-Hur came from a Jewish aristocrat family, and he was falsely accused of an assassination plot against a Judean governor. He was taken into Roman court. He was found guilty and sentenced to slavery. Unjustly as well, his family was persecuted. His wife and daughter were consigned to a leper colony. Yes, there they contracted leprosy. And near the end of the movie, there is the crucifixion site. Jesus gives up his spirit. He dies. And the Roman soldier takes this spear and thrusts it into his side, and immediately water and blood came from the side of Jesus. And a great storm came right after that. And from that storm, the water and blood met the rain, and the stream of water and blood went down the side of the mountain and found its way to a cave of a leper colony. And the water and the blood seeped into that leper colony and touched the bodies of Ben-Hur's wife and daughter. And immediately their flesh cleared up like that of a newborn baby, recognizing God, clearing things up. That is a prayer throughout our country today. Tropical storm Elias is expected to battle the Florida coast. The coronavirus has not loosened its grip throughout much of our country, and unemployment benefits have discontinued for many Americans, and a thick cloud of dismay have engulfed so many. But regardless of what your predicament may be this morning, you can always cry out for mercy. Mercy is our SOS. Direct your cry of mercy to Jesus. Mercy, Jesus. Have mercy, Lord Jesus, and if you cry mercy, he will hear you. If you whisper mercy, he will hear you. If you cry out in your heart for mercy, he will hear you. Somebody ought to cry out mercy this morning, even if you don't think you need him. You do need him. Let the church say amen. You may look good, you may feel strong, but you still need him. You may not have leprosy, but you have a condition far worse than leprosy. And that condition has afflicted me, and it afflicts all of us. And that condition is sin. And all sinners need mercy. So in our text, there are 10 lepers, 10 broken men of despair, of disease, of dejection. They've lost their health, their families, their freedoms, and their hopes. And when Jesus was passing by between the cities of Samaria and Galilee, he enters into a village, and standing afar are 10 lepers. They saw him, They recognized God, and they needed him to clear up their skin. And in this morning's message, recognizing God, clearing things up, the first thing I want you to jot down as point number one is this. Do you recognize God's grace and mercy in your life? Do you recognize God's grace and mercy in your life? Look at verses 11 through 14. While he was on his way to Jerusalem, he was passing between Samaria and Galilee. As he entered a village, 10 leprous men who stood at a distance met him, and they raised their voices, saying, "Jesus, have mercy on us." When he saw them, he said to them, "Go and show yourselves to the priests." And as they were going, they were cleansed. Beloved, so often we are prone to tell God what we don't have, that we fail to take in consideration what we do have. Sometimes what is lacking in our lives is not what we don't have, but what we fail to give. You see, the lepers stood at a distance. This was respectful. This was in compliance with the law. They had a communicable disease, and they were not to come into the proximity of others, so they're outcasts. And it's a good thing to know that the Lord can practice medicine from afar. Let the church say amen. He didn't have to go to them. He didn't have to touch them. He simply commanded him. And whatever your plight in life is, obey the Lord. Don't use misfortune as an excuse not to obey God. The point is this: the sickness had to obey him, but the persons who were sick that also had to obey him. You see, give God your obedience. Sometimes we want God to give us this and give us that, but we fail to give God our obedience. The lepers could not do one thing for themselves, but the one thing that they could do was to obey Christ. So the lepers, they recognized his command. They recognized that God was in Christ. They recognized the command from Christ was from God, and the lepers were not playing cute. Whether they would obey or not, there was so much on the line that they did obey. And sometimes, if I were to speak frankly, some of us are just too cute to obey God. In other words, we take our time, we think about it, we postpone it, we'll consider it at a later time, and we're being presumptuous, and we're being cute, and we think that all discretion rests with us. Beloved, when it comes to the commands of God, it's not a discretionary reply. Whatever he said, do. Let the church say amen. Secondly, the Lord gave the Samaritan a tall order. Beloved, it was one thing for 9 out of the 10 lepers to go to the temple and show themselves to the priests so that the priests could grant them, if you would, certification to go back into society, that they had been cleansed from their leprosy. But that was a totally different scenario for the Samaritan. You see, Samaritans didn't worship at the temple in Jerusalem. They had a rival temple in the north. You remember in the Samaritan story of the Samaritan woman in John chapter 4, the woman at the well, and she asks Jesus, "At what temple shall we worship, there in the north or here in Jerusalem?" And Jesus says, "God is a spirit, and those that worship him in spirit and in truth." Let the church say amen. So for this Samaritan to even take the contemplation, why would I go to Jerusalem? I will not be welcomed in Jerusalem, let alone at the temple. Why should I show myself to the priests? The Jewish priests have no time for us who are Samaritans. If they avoid us during the week, why should I have any assurance that any priest will show me kindness and consideration to inspect whether my leprosy has been cured or not? In other words, this Samaritan who had this leprosy, he is showing extraordinary faith because he has to obey the Lord. In what way? He has to humble himself. You say, "Well, what do you mean, Pastor Bob?" In order to obey God, sometimes we have to swallow our pride. We have to let go of history and start a new story. Let me say, y'all might as well jot that down. We have to let go of history and start a new story. You see, this Samaritan could have complained, those Jews, they don't like us. They hating on us. We don't have a relationship with them. They've done us wrong for centuries. They despise us. They mock us. They won't have anything to do with us. No, he had to obey Christ. In order to obey Christ, sometimes you have to let go of history and start a new story. And that's what's going on with our country in a large regards. Sometimes we're holding on to history that it doesn't allow us to start a new story. This is a new day. This is a new page in history. Sometimes we have to turn the page and go forward to write a new story. And this man was willing to let go of history and begin a new story. Would to God this would happen in marriages. How often in a marriage, something happens in a marriage, happened in a marriage, may not even be happening in the marriage, but is history. But sometimes we're unwilling to relinquish history and start a new story. We're still wrapped up in history. Beloved, let the past be the past and begin a new story in Jesus Christ. In marriage, don't blame your spouse for what you did. Stop talking about your feelings and begin to take in consideration God's feelings. You've gone through all the counseling and you go through all the therapy, but all the counseling and all the therapy doesn't mean a thing unless at the end of the day you're willing to obey God. You see, beloved, we have to humble ourselves. We got to let go of our history and begin a new story. That was the only way that Samaritan could be healed and certified by the priest. You say, well, Pastor Bob, what are you trying to tell me? Jesus highlights the Samaritan over the nine other lepers. But there's a third thing I want you to notice. Thirdly, recognizing God clearing up things. Point number three. Don't forget to come back and give thanks. Don't forget to come back and give thanks. Notice verse 17 through 19. Then Jesus answered and said, were there not 10 cleansed, but the nine, where are they? Was no one found who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner? And he said to him, stand up and go. Your faith has made you well. Now let me make an announcement. You know, we're learning here that we need to not forget to go back and give thanks. So let me say this. Lord willing, we'll be back here next Sunday. Lord willing, we'll be here next Sunday. You say, what do you mean? Don't forget to come back and give God thanks. Now listen, if God doesn't do anything in your life, then you don't have to come back next week. But I believe God is going to do some things in your life this week that's going to make you obligated to come next week. In other words, the Samaritan got it right. Some people, they take the blessings of God and run with the blessings. Some people allow the blessings of God to draw them away from God when the blessings were intended to draw you to God. What are you doing with the blessings of God this morning? You see, for some people, the more God bless them, the less they have to do with him. Let the church say amen. Oh, let the church say amen. Sometimes the more God blesses a person, the less they want to have anything to do with God. Sometimes we become so fixated, so dependent, and so comfortable with the blessings of God that we don't even come back to tell him thanks. You see, beloved, the man had to be certified by the priest. And there's a reason why he came back and the others didn't come back. You say, okay, Pastor Bob, I know the answer to that. He came back to give thanks. It goes a little deeper than that. He didn't merely come back to give thanks. He went back to draw closer to the Lord. You see, his first encounter with the Lord, he stood at a distance because he had a communicable disease and it was unlawful to draw near. But now that he's been cleansed, now that he's been certified, he wants to do something. He wants to draw closer to Christ. He wants to get into closer proximity to Jesus Christ. Let me ask you a question this morning. Do you want to draw nigh to the Lord? Cleanse your hands, sinners, and draw closer to God. He was cleansed. Now he can draw closer to God. Would to God this morning that we would draw closer to Jesus Christ. And Jesus asks the baffling question. The baffling question is the following. Were there not 10? Where are the other 9 that were cleansed? The other 9 received the blessing just as the 1 received the blessing. But only 1 came back to give thanks and to draw closer to Christ as a result of the blessing. You see, beloved, for some of us, the blessings of God may not draw us closer to God. It may draw us away from God. And so this man, a Samaritan, he is cleansed, and Jesus holds him up as a model. And the example is this. The Bible tells us, he that is forgiven much loves much. And this Samaritan went through more than what the other 9 went through because of his ethnicity, because of perceived prejudice and the like. He had to overcome more than the others, but overcoming more, he loved more. And sometimes you might wonder, Lord, why do I have it so hard? Why is it one thing after another? Why do I have to overcome this and overcome that? Sometimes God wants us to overcome this thing and that thing so that we might love him even more and more and more. And what you discover is this, the more you go through, the more you love him. And he went through so much. And the more he went through, the more he loved him. And Jesus says, were there not 10, but only the foreigner, the ones who worship afar, came back to give thanks. Recognizing God, sometimes we're so quick to tell God what we don't have that we fail to recognize what we do have. Sometimes we look good and feel strong, and we don't recognize this may be our last day on the earth. Let the church say amen. It has nothing to do with how well you look. I've seen some impressive, good-looking people stretched out in a casket. It's not how well you look. It's not how well you feel. There are a lot of people who are health addicted addicts that exercise and exercise and exercise, and that's a commendable thing. But I need you to understand one thing. The Bible says exercise profits a little. Bodily exercise, it profits a little. Thank God for it. But the thing that you need to be most concerned about is your soul. And there are some impressive, strong-looking, good-looking caskets with bodies that look just as good as the casket. You see, you may look good, you may feel strong, but it don't mean that you may not be here tomorrow. You see, beloved, obey the Lord. Don't be cute. Don't try to persuade yourself that I'll put it off, I'll wait, and I'll do this and that. Don't use, if you would, circumstances and difficulties as an excuse not to obey God. Matter of fact, God is going to challenge your obedience. That's what he did with Adam and Eve, and that's what he's doing to this very day. Sometimes God is going to up the ante to see if you love him and whether you're going to obey him. And finally, sometimes we got to let go of history so we can begin a new story. story in Jesus Christ. Recognizing God, clearing things up, and they were cleansed of their leprosy. Let's stand and look to the Lord in a word of prayer. Let us stand, shall we, as we look to God in prayer. Father, we thank you for your mercies and your grace and what you did in the lives of these nine, but in particular in the life of the one Samaritan. And now, Father, help us not to use difficulties as an excuse to disobey you, but Father, help us to realize that it's a challenge to obey you. God, don't allow history and prejudice and all kinds of things to be stumbling blocks that we refuse to humble ourselves and do the things you've called us to do. But Father, help us sometimes to let go of history that we can begin a new story in you. Now, Father, help us to recognize that you don't have to touch us or draw near to us to heal us. Speak the word only, and your servant shall be healed. Now, Father, we thank you for the power of your word. We ask this all in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen and amen. Every head is bowed.